Well, hey, everybody. It is great to be with you, whether you're here in the room or catching a couple more weekends up at the cottage. It's an honor to have you along for the ride. Before we get to what I want to talk to you about today, though, just a brief family update, because, friends, it finally happened, okay? On Tuesday, our whole tribe went to the Michigan State University. And we moved our eldest into the dorm, and already the emails have started. Does this mean you're going to be rooting for Michigan State in football? To which I would respond, yes, except one game a year. You know what I'm saying? Because you got, so I may be tailgating there, but I would be in the wrong colors for you State fans. But and the one more thing, I don't know, some of y'all did not tell my wife and I how this goes when you drop your first kid off. I don't know how the other kids go, but like, I was a mess this week. Like, I was totally, like, cool as a cucumber. We got him all situated. He's doing good. And then, like, the next day, Wednesday, I went out to get some ice at, like, the grocery store. And I come back up the driveway, and I saw his car. And I started to sob. And nothing happened. I just saw his car. And I went in, and my wife's like, what happened? Because she's thinking someone at church had an accident or something happened. And I said, I saw his car. And then she started to sob. Just pray for us, okay? We're kind of a hot mess this week. Anyway, we're in the second week of a series called Into the Deep. And if you were with us last week, you may recall that it began with a simple observation. It goes like this. You never regret the times you've jumped into the deep end in life, right? And you see the air quotes, the deep end, right? But this is true of your relationships. It's true in your career. It's true in your finances. And to the point of this series, it's also true in your faith. And that's why in this three-week set of talks, what we're doing is exploring three incredibly practical things you can do, steps you can take to begin to move your faith out of the shallow end and into the deep. And now, if we're being honest, I think that's something that we all want. Something real, something resilient, something substantive. And not only that, but as we discussed last week, a deep faith isn't only something that we want, it's something that we need. None of us can afford to stay in the shallow end when it comes to the matters of the soul, because too much is at stake. Too much is at stake for us as individuals, too much is at stake for our families, too much is at stake for our community. And so whether you're a skeptic who walked in today wondering if there was anything to all this Jesus stuff, or you're someone who recently crossed the line of faith and you're like, man, I'm ready to grow, or you're someone who's been a Christian for a long time and in an honest moment over coffee, you'd confess to me, I feel like I've kind of stalled out in my faith. Whatever you bring to the conversation, I would argue this series is for you. And my hope in sharing this content is that many of us would seize this moment, like as we enter the fall, to go deeper in our faith, maybe for some of us for the first time. And that as a result, our faith would become more meaningful and life-giving to us and more compelling to other people. So, okay, that said, if we're being honest, for many of us, when it comes to the whole concept of growing deeper in our faith, we grew up in church and we always sort of thought that that was the pastor's job, right? I mean, we're thinking, isn't that what we pay you for, right? And so in a sense, that's true in the sense in which pastors are sort of guides for the communities that we serve. You're right, but as we saw last week, the author of the New Testament letter we call Hebrews informed his audience of early Christians that every follower of Jesus, like every single one of us, has an active role to play in growing our faith. The sobering truth then is that God has already done his part. We have everything that we need. But until you or I step up and do our part, well, there's just not much that any one sermon or song or small group can do to get us where we and God want us to be. And that's why, again, this series explores three super practical things you can actually do, three next steps you can take if you're ready to grow in your faith. And for the benefit of those of you who weren't with us last week, the first thing, super simple, that we explored was the reality that if you want to grow in your faith, you need to feed yourself. Remember this? and not just rely on others to feed you. And we talked about the fact that, you know, just like there's a natural progression that happens physically in life, there's supposed to be a natural progression that happens spiritually. It's necessary and it's non-negotiable. And that's why I ended our time last week by inviting you to join me in a 21-day experiment where each morning I'm sending you a text with a few verses on which to reflect before you start your day. And by the way, over 700 of you signed up, right? So that's pretty cool. I was like, and every day I check because I do it each morning. So it's really cool. Anyway, and it's a way for you to experience what it's like to feed yourself. And by the way, you can still join that challenge if you're like, whoa, can I jump in? Yours won't be 21 days though. Okay. Just for, because I can count. But anyway, if you want to jump in, just text join deep. It doesn't have to be capitals or undercase, whatever. Just join deep to the number on the screen, 616-228-0406. If you're listening to the audio of this talk, but you can jump in with us and we've got two more weeks. And you can jump in with us tomorrow. So that's where we landed last time. And to get us going with what I want to talk to you about today, I need to make another observation. It's simply this. It's hard to improve your physical health while sitting on a couch, right? I was going to watching Netflix, but you know what I'm talking about, right? It's hard to improve your physical health when you're sitting on a couch. In other words, if you want to make progress physically, you shouldn't just watch Netflix shows about what to do, but you need to actually get up and do something. And I would argue there's a similar reality when it comes to your faith. Like if you want it to grow deeper, you're going to have to get up and do something. And but now if you're like most of us, if you're being honest, whenever you've had that urge to improve your spiritual health, right, you probably committed, at least internally, to more faithful church attendance, because that's what we tend to do first. We think, okay, I need to at least ground myself in church. And that's great, and that totally makes sense, because we tend to think that the more God stuff that we're around, the more God stuff we attend, the deeper our faith goes. And so, and maybe you've had this experience, I certainly have. You like grab your Bible and you went to church and you sat down, you're, okay, I'm here, I'm in my seat, my Bible's open, God, let's go, okay? And that's all good. But what I want to propose today is that I think when we do that, we might be getting it backwards. And here's what I mean. There's something that's obviously true in the physical realm that's much harder to see in the spiritual. But fortunately for us, this something that's hard to see was brilliantly described in a letter to early Christians that was eventually included in the New Testament of the Bible. And I'm telling you, I think this something that we're going to explore today, this principle, has done more to grow my faith deeper than almost anything else. And by the way, if you're here and you're not a Christian, first, we're just honored you're with us, but I would encourage you to lean into this content because, and this really is an exaggeration, I think if you actually put into practice what we talked about today, you would actually move in the direction of faith. It might even convince you that Jesus is worth following. This principle is that powerful. Okay, so as I mentioned, this principle was revealed by a pastor. His name was Paul. He wrote over half of the New Testament, and he wrote a letter to a community of Christians living in a Roman colony called Philippi. And this is so important for us to understand before we see what he wrote. He knew these people personally. Like, he'd spent significant time with them, and then about a decade or so after he left them, I think he heard that they weren't as deep as they wanted to be in their faith or as he wanted them to be in their faith, and so he decided to write them a letter to encourage them as to how to access the depth of faith that their soul was craving. And before I show you what he wrote, I want to give you a heads up because we're going to do something a little different with this passage. I want to explore Paul's challenge to these early Christians in reverse. In other words, I want to first read what Paul promised as the result of followers of Jesus pursuing what he proposed, and then I'll show you what he proposed as a way to access that promise. If that didn't make sense, it will in a second, okay? So here's what Paul promised. He says, if you follow his suggestion, then he said, you, and the use plural there, if we were in the South, we'd say, y'all will shine like among the other people, like stars in the sky. He says, you take what I'm telling you to heart, your life, your faith will shine. You will stand out from other people. If you do what I'm telling you to do, you'll become people who have a captivating quality of character that makes people stop and stare. Now, isn't that something to think about, right? I mean, if I'm being honest, it's a promise that is at least compelling enough to make me curious. Like, if a faith that stands out from the crowd is available, then I bet most of us would want to know how to access it. And that's what Paul promised was available. And now here's what he said about how to get there. He began by noting, and this is so cool, he says, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill his good purpose. It is God who works in you. In other words, Paul said, God works in you to fulfill his purpose for you. He has a plan for your life, and he works it out in you. God is at work in your life. And before we go any farther, I just got to ask you, have you ever experienced a sense, and maybe it weirded you out so much you didn't tell anybody, that God was at work in you? Like, I mean, I hear this all the time, but people reach out and say, man, I was in church, and you were talking, doing your thing, and I had this thought, like, does he have telepathy? Right? Like, how in the world did he know exactly what I needed to hear? It's so nice all those other people got to hear God's message to me, right? Or maybe you're driving in the car, and you're going from point A to point B, and a song comes on the radio, and tears fill your eyes because it was exactly what your soul was craving and you didn't even know it. And it's almost like, is somebody up there watching? Is somebody inside watching? Or maybe for you it was, you know, you were reading the Bible or listening to a podcast, and it's like something you always do, but this particular morning, this particular moment, something deep inside of you lit up. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and I suspect that that was a little taste of what it's like when God works in you, and he nudges you, or he reminds you of how much he loves you and he cares for you. But anyway, as interesting as all of that is, and that's a whole nother talk, right? But whatever Paul was telling his readers to do in order to experience a radiant faith is not in this verse. It's actually in the previous verse. The previous verse where he wrote, and check this out, he says, I want you to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to work out. In other words, if you want to get out of the shallow end and into the deep when it comes to your faith, you need to get off the couch and work out your salvation. You need to put your faith into practice. Well, what does that look like? I think if he had some more time, he would say, well, you need to do whatever it is that God is calling you to do. You need to develop whatever habits God is calling you to develop. You need to change whatever God is calling you to change. You need to go love that difficult somebody that deep inside you know Jesus is calling you to love. Or you need to forgive that difficult somebody that you really don't want to, that Jesus is calling you to forgive. You need to be generous to somebody who's in need, or somebody who's hurting, or somebody who's just a little down on their luck and needs to be encouraged. You need to start a Bible study at work. You need to get off the couch and do something to apply your faith. You don't need to spend more time sitting. I mean, if you're like most Christians, you know, sitting is where we've spent the vast majority of the time that we've dedicated to developing our faith. And so if you think about it, we're not really lacking in input, we're lacking in output. We need to like work out our salvation. So let me read you Paul's whole encouragement again. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I think Paul would say, you want to grow deeper in your faith? I think we all do. He'd say, this is the secret. This is the game plan. This is what changes the game. You need to work out what God is working in. That's how you grow spiritually. Because what's true of you physically is also true of your faith journey. You can't improve that much while you're sitting on a couch. It's not just enough to let God work in you. You've got to work out your faith in order for it to develop quality and resilience and strength. That's just how it works. A deep faith is an exercised faith. And so now, I was thinking about it this week, and I think if we're being honest, a lot of us would have to confess, you know, if we're unsatisfied with our faith, I think we would, in an honest moment, we'd say, okay, I'm unsatisfied with my faith, but if I'm honest, my entire faith experience could be defined as, well, collecting churchy experiences. And I know this is not a word, right? But you know what I'm talking about? Think about how we tend to talk about our faith with our friends. It almost always comes down to something we heard in a sermon or something we learned in a Bible study, heard on a podcast, or even went to a conference. And all those things are great. But see, if we're honest, if that's the extent of our Christian experience, we're just collecting churchy experiences. And to be clear, my job is to create these things, right? And I love them. So I'm really not suggesting there's anything wrong with churchy experiences. I'm just suggesting that they're not enough, because a deep faith is not cultivated by collecting experiences. A deep faith is cultivated by collecting applied experiences. So like, said a bit differently, sitting in church will deepen your knowledge, but it doesn't necessarily deepen your faith. But then sitting in church and then being inspired to actually do something and going and doing it with what you learned, that will deepen your faith. And the same thing applies to Bible studies or worship music or really any of the Christian experiences that you've had. Spiritual depth is cultivated through application. Years ago, I did a talk. It's like it's the doing that makes the difference. And just so you don't think that I came up with this whole concept on my own, I'm not that smart. This is actually something that Jesus said over and over and over again, perhaps most clearly as the closing illustration to his most significant block of recorded teaching. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, this coming winter, so like January, February, March, we're going to go through it verse by verse, Sermon on the Mount. So something to look forward to, called the Jesus Way. Really excited about it. But anyway, so Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, after talking about really important things like anger and lust and murder and revenge and generosity, Jesus told his disciples a story. And if you grew up in Sunday school, you have sung this song. As soon as I start, it's going to like play in your head. So I apologize in advance. But here we go. He said this: everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man, a wise woman, who built their house on the rock. In other words, Jesus looks at the crowd and he says, okay, I appreciate you hearing me, but that anyone who does what I instruct them to do builds their house, their life, their faith on a deep, strong, resilient foundation, a firm foundation. Conversely, he said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, a foolish woman, a foolish individual who built his house on the sand. In other words, everyone who hears my instructions, everyone who listens to sermons, collects sermons and songs and events and experiences, all the churchy stuff, and does nothing with them, is building a fragile foundation for their life and a shallow faith. And you won't always notice until something happens, right? When a storm rolls through life and they're in a world of trouble because they have not developed resilience, they haven't developed depth, they haven't developed maturity. Because as we've said, a deep faith is not formed by collecting Christian experiences. A deep faith is formed by collecting applied experiences. And by the way, this is why I'm convinced that during his 3 years or so with his disciples, Jesus sent his guys away from him to teach and to serve at least twice and maybe three times, at least that are recorded in the Bible. And if I had been there, I probably wouldn't want to raise my hand and said, Jesus, These guys are going to do some incredibly significant things after you exit the stage. Can't that whole sending them out away from you wait? I mean, you have such limited time with them. Shouldn't they spend as many moments with you as possible? And if I had been able to ask Jesus, I'm pretty sure he would have looked back and said, absolutely not. They need to work out their faith because there's something unique that happens when someone works out what God is working in. And I'm telling you, that principle was true for them then, and it's true for us today. Here's what I mean. Hypothetically, if you were to sign up and serve as a small group leader this fall and winter in Anthem, our student ministry here at Keystone, it's an amazing place. And by the way, Grant will be back this week from Israel, so that's super exciting too. But Keystone Student Ministry, you'd get to show up on either Wednesday or Sunday nights and give your life away to some junior or senior high students. And I'm telling you, as someone who worked in student ministry with my wife for 15 years, your faith will grow deeper, okay? Either that or you'll quit in frustration after 2 weeks. But even then, your faith will grow deeper because trials also grow our faith deeper. Okay, I ran that by Caitlin. She said I could say that, so there you go. Anyway, here's another example. If you were to offer your neighbor an open-ended invitation, a gentle invitation to join you at church on some Sunday, it will start to impact the way you think about them. It really will. I've done this and I've experienced it. You'll find a desire, sometimes out of seemingly nowhere, to start loving and serving them. And eventually, you may sense that they're looking for something more in life. And you can sort of gently reiterate your invitation, say, hey, would you just come sit with me, right? Not just come to my church, but just come sit next to me. Maybe we can even have lunch afterwards. If you do that, that whole process will deepen your faith. God will do something in you, and God will do something through you. Or maybe something even more simple, like if you encounter someone who has physical needs that are not being met and you step up and meet them, you'll grow deeper in your faith because that's how it works. Or how about this one? You know, if you decide to finally deal with that sin in your life that you've been telling God you'll deal with later, sometimes for decades, you finally say, okay, line in the sand, it's game time. This fall, I'm going after it, right? That's something that you know isn't good for you or for anyone else, and you commit to it. You actually do the hard work. You make some difficult decisions. You deny yourself. You invite some accountability into your life, and you lean into and fall on the grace of God because it's there for you. If you do that, you will grow deeper in your faith. Because sometimes long-sustained disobedience is what's keeping us in the shallow end. Or if you just pick something on any given Sunday and you just go do something with something that we talk about here at church, not just hear it or understand it or discuss it, but you go and actually do it, I'm telling you, your faith will grow deeper. That's what happens when you work out your faith. That's what happens when I work out my faith. You get to see for yourself that God is faithful, and he's powerful, and he's up to something in the world, and he's invited you and me to be a part of it. Like this whole Christianity thing, it starts when we embrace the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our sins. We cross over from life to death. We're adopted as children of God. But that's not where the whole thing ends in this life. It's like that's where it begins. And from there, we've been invited to be a part of bringing God's kingdom the way he wants things to be here and now in small ways. We step into this very different story and we find a God who's much bigger and better than we ever imagined. And in the process, we find a depth of faith that really can only be experienced through application. I'm telling you, as great as churchy experiences can be, we can't just be churchy experience collectors. We need to work out what God is working in because faith is one of a whole category of things that grows when it's exercised. And so I hope that this principle, it's simple, but I hope it's inspiring and challenging and maybe even a little bit unsettling to you if you've grown too comfortable in your faith because maybe you've realized that you've kind of had it backwards all along. Like every time you've wanted to change something in your spiritual life, you've kind of gone back to the couch. And I'm excited that maybe as a result of this simple message, some of you maybe would change that approach. And I'm telling you, if you do, something incredible is going to happen. And Paul described it this way in that letter to the Christians at Philippi. He acknowledged that working out faith can be hard, but that followers of Jesus really needed to, because if you do, then, he wrote, you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. In other words, Paul wrote, if you'll commit to collecting applied experiences in your faith and not just collecting experiences, your life and our world will be better for it. I mean, he's like, you're going to shine among them, and there's like a whole bunch of people who are hungry to know that God is real and God is working, and they can see God working in you. And so you need to work out what God is working in, because a faith that's exercised shines. And when you shine, not only will your faith be distinct and deeper, it will also be attractive and effective and powerful to people who are looking for a better way. And so that said, we who are followers of Jesus need to start working out what God is working in, not only because it's the way to access the depths that he has for us, but also because it's an invitation for people who don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus. It's compelling, it's inspiring, it's practically irresistible. And so that said, with the few minutes that remain, I just want to give you some incredibly practical steps that you can take, like right now, today, or this week, to start putting this principle into practice. And again, I did not work very hard on these. You're going to be like rolling your eyes, but just bear with me. First suggestion is simply that you serve someone. Thank you. I worked a long time on that, right? In other words, go find someone in need and meet their need, right? Big or small. Love someone else just like Jesus loved you. And maybe for you, it's serving someone right here at church. We have a whole bunch of needs going into the fall. We go to 2 services in a couple of weeks. And I'm telling you, if you want to make the children's team's day, stop by and say, hey, I'm in, what do you need, right? Or you could say, what do you need? Then you could say, I'm in. I understand if you don't want to write a blank check. But anyway, maybe it's babies in the nursery on Sunday mornings. Maybe it's 8th graders on Wednesday nights. Maybe it's jumping in with one of our partners who serves the community of Sibley Elementary School. We're always looking for more people to help us make a difference. If you want to start working out what God is working in, just go serve someone. And I'm telling you, your faith will grow deeper as you do. So that's my first suggestion. Second suggestion, again, didn't spend a whole lot of time on this. Be generous somewhere. In other words, find someone or some organization that helps someone's by providing the financial resources that they need to do what they need to do. You make a real difference when you step in with no strings attached generosity in Jesus' name. It's great for them, and it's actually great for you too. So that's the second thing. Third, I'd encourage you to invite someone to sit with you in church, one of those open-ended invitations we just talked about, and then begin loving them unconditionally and serving them sacrificially. With no strings attached, but then as you build relationship, when you notice that they're looking for something, looking for God, looking for hope, looking for meaning, looking for purpose, looking for community, then just to get a soft invitation. Hey, come sit with me. Just experience it. And they can watch a sermon online first if they want to hear it so they know what they're getting into, right? And they're like, I don't know about that guy. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I'm telling you, if you do this, your faith will grow deeper. God will work in you, and he will work through you, and it will take your faith to a new level. Okay, here's the last one. And this one is the one that if you only decided to do one, I want you to do, because I think if we all just did this one, it would literally change our community and maybe even our world. It goes like this. Commit to actually following Jesus. And this is like obvious, right? But not just learning about Jesus or singing about Jesus. Like, let's get serious and start actually doing what he instructed his followers to do. And I know what you're thinking. It's hard, and it is hard, but it's good. There's a lot of things that are hard and good. I said that to my wife this week. Leaving the kid at college, hard and good somehow, right? And this is one of those things. So let's start doing what he instructed his followers to do. And here's the other thing. I think if we're being honest, most of us already know what God wants us to do next. Like, what's my next step? I would argue most of us already know what it is. We just need to go do it. We need to go change it. We need to go redeem it. Like, I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is that God is asking you to do, just my encouragement is simply do it. Your life and your faith will never be the same. All that to say, today's principle, simple principle to help you grow deeper in your faith. Like last week, you need to feed yourself. This week is simply this, no surprise, work out what God is working in. And we will pick it up there next week. But for now, I'd love to invite you to stand if you're willing and able in the room. And I'll close our time in prayer. If you're new around here, every week as we close a service, there's an opportunity to have someone pray over you. The screen to the left, there'll be some friends, so please take advantage of that if that would be helpful. But for the rest of us, let me close our time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we celebrate you as the God who saves and as the God who invites, the God who meets us where we're at in love and loves us too much to let us stay there because you see so much more in us, so much more potential that sometimes we don't even see for ourselves. So I just pray for each of us this week, we would do something for you because of Jesus that we would not do if we didn't know Jesus. And as we do, may we taste not only that you are good, but may we taste what that action does to our faith. We want a faith that matters, that moves us, that moves others. And so please awaken us to the opportunities to serve and love in Jesus' name that we will encounter this week. Thank you for the grace in which we stand, and most of all, we thank you for Jesus, who came to show us your heart and to invite us to follow his way. It is in his name, the name above all names, that we pray. And everyone said, amen. It's been great to be with you, friends. We'll see you next week.